time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello, and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we've been studying this week the parable of the prodigal son, and what an important parable, because in this parable, Jesus was highlighting the departure in this first part of the younger son who scorned all of his father's benefits. And so at the beginning, he asks for his inheritance, he receives his inheritance, and he flees to a far-off country, and what do we read there? He wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And the Jesus highlights in the parable God's providence in drawing this son back. He sends a severe famine in the land, but 15 should jolt us even further. Verse 15, he went even further, we read, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He went as far away in rebellion as possible. He went and literally joined himself. The word here in the Greek actually means to glue. He glued himself with all of his loyalties to one who had no care for him. One who was a hard master, so much so that he sent him into his own fields to feed the swine. Leaving his own father who loved him, taught him so much, having everything in the comforts of his house, yet he wants his own freedom. He looks to be united with someone who's only going to use him. I think that's what's so striking about this parable, my friends. He wanted freedom. He wanted to be free from living under his father's roof, which in actuality, he had everything he ever needed. He had his father's tender love in the home. And wanting to experience the world, he actually finds himself in bondage to another. Freedom is not freedom from Christ. Freedom, we think, to go and do what we want is bondage to sin, and that is bondage to Satan. If you are not in God's house, you're in Satan's house. You are doing the will of Satan. People are either united to God and are his children or do his will as they are united to, or they are united to Satan as his children and do his will. And this is really brought out here. This is the picture here. In verses 15 and 16, he was sent to feed with the pigs and would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Joining himself with another whom he thought would care for him actually sends him to feed with pigs. Now, if you know Jewish law, pigs were absolutely unclean, taboo, and definitely off the menu at the local restaurant. It was the worst kind of occupation, demonstrating that the one to whom he had glued himself didn't care for him a bit, but sent him in the pigsty. In fact, we read no one gave him anything. He actually lusted for the pods that the pigs ate. And the point of all of this is that he had hit rock bottom. The glamour of immoral living, the quick gluttony, the quick lust of the flesh, the things that seemed to bring happiness actually proved to be empty and hopeless. That is the reality. He had joined himself to a hard master, one in which there was absolutely no freedom, a lifestyle that really does bring emptiness and sorrow, a life that looks pleasant, but in the end is danger for the soul. It's only in the Lord's house, you see, that one finds happiness, and let me say, freedom. Psalm 107, verse 9 comes to mind. For he, God, satisfies the soul and fills the hungry soul with gladness. Satisfies the longing soul, literally. It is only God who can satisfy sinners. And after all of this young man's rebellion, after all of his squandering of the inheritance, he hits rock bottom and finds himself in the soot and grime of the pig pen, even wanting their food. Verse 17, we have one of the most striking statements in the parable. But when he came to himself, it was all of a sudden as if the light bulb had finally turned on. Regeneration had occurred. Remember what he once had. And now that all comes to mind, this is what it took for him to realize. He had no appreciation for his father's house. He had forgotten everything that he had ever learned. He had become weary of his good gifts to him, and he wanted out, so to speak. But it was in seeing the vanities of this life, the fleeting, passing form of this world, and feeling shame, knowing that his path was hopeless, that he came to himself. Isn't that an amazing statement? He came to himself and realized his sin and folly. You see, my friends, we must all come to this point. We must all come to the point of realizing that apart from Christ, all of this is the beginnings of hell. We must express what the psalmist cries out in the 84th Psalm, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." That's exactly what he comes to realize. Verse 17, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" What's he saying? "Father, I will live as one of your slaves. I only want back in. Just let me in. A slave in your house is rich compared to what this world has to offer." This is where we must come, friends, that it is hopeless without Christ. We must fall before him in repentance. "Oh, Father, just give me the smallest corner in your presence, in your house. Don't look upon me a sinner, but let me come before you again." Have you ever felt that? You know, the first thing that comes across is an appreciated love for his father's house, one that he did not have before, a remembering of his goodness, and he expresses a repentant love that was motivated by thankfulness for who his father is and all of his loving care for him all of his life. And most of all, a recognition that his father will show mercy, and oh, how he does. So much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt for his children, that there might be a way of return possible of being a child of Adam. And this young man is determined to go to him. In verse 20, we read that he arose and he came to his father. You consider the pattern of his folly, how strikingly similar it is to that of Jonah. He went on this downward spiral in sin, and when he came to himself, he began his ascent. But we can deduce a pattern here, can't we? We can at least say that sin takes a certain course. It starts with pride. "Father, give me my portion." It moves to departure, and he went to a distant land. It promotes waste, and he squandered his inheritance. It brings bondage. He joined himself to a citizen of that country and ends in misery. He fed the swine. But when he came to himself is the path of ascent, isn't it? First, a reflection. "My father's house is better," repentance. "I've sinned against my father," return. "I will go to him," liberty, a robe, and then life, a feast. That's exactly what happens here. In verse 20, "But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." The idea conveyed here is that the father had sat by the window waiting for his son, watching the road, you see, waiting for his return. And what a picture presented in the parable. I mean, at least the young prodigal realizes that his father has no right to receive him. He could have well cried out with David, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Have you come to this point? In the distance, the father could see his beaten, dirty, downtrodden son coming home. And oh, how a father rejoices when his son returns from his wayward choices and returns to what is right. You see, before the son could say anything, here pictured is the love of God. Before the son could say anything, the father runs to him. The word expresses here the sense that he dropped everything and ran as fast as he could to him. And he fell on his neck and kissed him. What compassion is brought here. The father, great joy to see one of his sons returning. And the son could not even finish his thoughts before the father cries out in joy. You see, this is the picture Jesus was conveying. That God himself in all of his heavenly realm rejoices when a lost sinner turns from his way. For why should the wicked die? Turn, turn from your iniquities. For a way of return has been provided in Jesus Christ, and sinners are called to come to him. Turn back if you look at verse 1 now. After all of that, what do you read? Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Here Jesus had come to claim all of those who the Father had given to him. Here sinners were coming, and they complained. Why? Because a heart that has not experienced conversion doesn't see why everyone else needs it. Have you come to Jesus, fallen before him in repentance and faith, asking for a place in his house? My friends, the world is lost in sin. We are all lost children of Adam. And the only way back into the Father's house, the only way to be received in grace and be received in his loving arms is to be found in his Son, Jesus Christ, who makes you then an adopted son through his blood. Have you believed in this Jesus? My friends, do you see what this parable presents to us? Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He has come to receive the brokenhearted. He has come to remedy and heal those who are hurt from their own sin. Those whose sin corrupts their lives and controls them so that they are in bondage to another master. Jesus is freedom. And Jesus brings you into the house of the Father in such a way that you are received with open arms of loving care. Have you believed in him today? Well, if you have, then know that you have been received into his house and you have the very robe of the righteousness of his dear Son. We invite you to join us this Sunday for worship and come to know what it means to be a member of the household and the family of God. You may call us 360-318-0429. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. We have many articles there for you to help you in your Christian walk and learn more about this Christ. Our worship services this Sunday are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden URC. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you. Yeah.